The Vox Markets Podcast. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome back, everyone, to Vox Markets. My name is Paul Hill, and I'm delighted again to be able to speak to CEO Jonathan Hunter and CFO Neil Pritchard of Alico, a one-stop shop for build tech, visualization, project management, and asset management software. So welcome, gents.
Hi, Paul.
Well, big congrats on today's record and better than expected full year results, with the like-for-like sales increasing 9% to £32.4 million. Maybe we can start there, Jonathan. I suppose you could just remind the audience what the company does, its sort of key USPs, and importantly, what's been driving that strong top line growth.
Yeah. Alico is an international SaaS software provider. We service the customers in the built environment, working under socioeconomic factors such as population growth and demand for buildings, and also carbon and costs and so forth. What we provide is best of breed solutions that allow our customers to have certainty over time and cost, essentially, and therefore allowing them to drive productivity, but also meet the demands of the built environment, which are ever growing. The feature-rich solutions are the point of data entry, and also that makes them mission critical on a construction project or maintaining a building or factory. And therefore ultra sticky. So we're very good at retaining our customers. And what's driving growth is, of course, adding new customers to our long list, but really adding more value to existing customers and growing the usage of our software. And it's a really exciting market because, the demands are driving the adoption of technology, which is solving some of the complexities and challenges within the construction and also property maintenance sectors.
Yeah, and that whole sort of process of digitization of that construction industry and building properties and maintaining properties, Jonathan, is it seen any impact at all from the disruption from Trump? Because obviously he's impacted a lot of other sectors.
I think that, of course, there's some uncertainty in the market. However, we're continuing to see strong demand. Technology is turned to solve some of these challenges around efficiency and productivity, but also safety and compliance and quality. And we're seeing our customers facing these challenges of, in addition to building projects being more complex and demanding, and also their client demands imposing further demands on our customers. So it's a challenging environment for our clients, I think, and there is uncertainty. However, we're still seeing, a drive for technology adoption and digitalization, a drive for more prescription around the use of technology, so consolidating the number of technology products and software products to standardize across organizations, and also data as well is a big focus, which has been driven by the desire to use AI. And AI is proving to be beneficial both for Alico internally, but also for our customers. But it's not at this stage replacing human intervention. So there's still a need for skilled people to be operating AI and software.
Yeah, given the sort of compelling ROI, given the sort of external environment. In terms of progress on that US expansion, Jonathan, how did the the business progress over the last 12 months?
It's quite an exciting opportunity, the US, because the customers, we're getting extremely good feedback from customers and some big wins, which I mentioned in my report, and some existing customers that are expanding. So we're continuing to see growth. We're competing against some big businesses out there, or big products. So it takes a bit of time to convince customers to look at a different tool. But once they do, we're confident that they continue to use it and they continue to purchase and expand. I think net overall, we reported 36 new logos. But of course, we're expanding in all the existing customers year on year. And that's how we've grown our business in Europe and continue to grow, is really by after we win a new customer, we take care of them and we're super sticky and they love what we provide. So they continue to expand as their business expands.
Brilliant. Okay, well, let's move over to the financials, Nir. If you could sort of take us through sort of like what's been happening at the sort of the ARR and the NRR and the margins, and along obviously with the sales.
Yeah, sure. Thanks, Paul. As you said at the outset, it's been a really strong 2024 for us. I'm really pleased. We're ahead on revenue and profitability and cash. And so we're showing some good numbers all around. So it's hard to pick out too many just on their own, but I'll try and limit it. Certainly, obviously, total revenues have broken through that 30 million barrier to 32.4. So that's up 16%, as you said, up 9% like for like, or 10% with kind of the FX in with that as well. And within that, we've seen really strong growth again in the recurring revenues. Total recurring revenues were ahead 20%. In the period as well, compared to the previous period. So they now stand at 24.9 of that overall 32.4. So that's a really nice sort of 77% of overall revenues is recurring, which, you know, I can come back to that a little bit later, but obviously is very favourable in these uncertain times. ARR itself, similar sorts of percentages as well, moving ahead really nicely in terms of the exit recurring revenues that we see. And then, yeah, just on profitability, I mean, pick your choice. I think EBITDA and adjusted EBITDA is still 26% ahead. You've got adjusted PBIT at 29% ahead, adjusted EPS 28%, and cash we're very pleased with as well. Again, an improved quality of earnings as a proportion of our operating profits. But yeah, cash at the year end at 14. There was an acquisition subsequent to the year end, which has taken that down. But you know, within year on year, that was a 28% increase. But had we not made any acquisition within the year, which was the Vertical Digital group of businesses, cash would have been 40% ahead. So overall, as I say, the EPS growth is very good for our shareholders, 28%, and we've actually increased the final dividend ahead of consensus as well, in a similar sort of fashion, at 27% as well. So hopefully, and that's obviously rewarding their sort of conviction and investment of them in us, as it were. Yeah. So we're very pleased with that. Overall gross margins slightly down, but actually if you took at gross margin level, if you took the strategic acquisition for other reasons, Vertical Digital, that would have been ahead by about 29%, and from up to about more than 90%, if you like.
Yeah.
What we've also saw in terms of, you mentioned about net retention, as well, that's very nice ahead as well. In terms
NRR, the net retention rate. I mean, that's one real feature that I thought was another one which stood out. 109%. Does that mean essentially you're upselling and cross-selling to those customers, increasing the share of wallet?
Yeah, we're definitely upselling and increasing our share of wallet with each of them. Basically, that's right. You know, the way we work, and we've talked about this before, is, yes, we're certainly adding to our new customer base for sure, and logos and so forth. But the customers like to sort of work through and sort of dip their toe in that first year or two. But as we move in and that customer journey, that length of time, and we obviously have low churn rates and everything else, what that means is the customers end up spending more and more with us. And the opportunity for sort of the expansion with those customers really does sort of take place, and so we're really enjoying that scale up. It's really, really good.
Brilliant. And then just on that operating leverage, I did see your EBITDA margins tick up 1.5% to 22.2%. Is that going to be again a feature going forward?
We'd like to think so. For us, I think we can see that we've got some really good growth numbers out there, sort of sort of around about the 20% levels, 15 to 20% levels going forward. But we see more operational leverage coming through as we do that, obviously, with your overheads. There will be investments in overheads that will be required, you know, maybe some particular R&D around other advancements. Maybe, you know, there's certainly some scaling up and investment in, you know, as we are getting bigger, you know, more senior heads and so forth. But that tends to be relatively stepped, not completely proportional. So therefore, in line with, you know, with revenues topping up more flows to the bottom line.
Okay, brilliant. Okay, well, just on the M&A strategy here, Jonathan, I think you pulled a blinder buying Vertical Digital last year to give you that sort of consultancy. I suppose you could just talk through the strategic rationale of that and the post-period end, the one in January of the PMAC acquisitions and the status of the integration.
Sure. Yeah. So we're really pleased with both acquisitions, starting with Vertical Digital, which is a R&D R&D business based in Romania. It's the way they develop, or we develop R&D is quite unique and really focused on projects as well as clients. Bringing into the group the integration that the one of the founders and the CTO is now our group CTO, Alex Geboianu. And, you know, it's exactly what we were looking for in terms of a CTO being not only highly technical, but also commercially focused and ensuring that whatever we're building has a need for the customer. And that's what was really a USP for Vertical Digital, which made it very attractive. So we've utilized and filled many positions within the business that we're recruiting for on projects. It's allowed us to scale up for specialist skills as well as, you know, cut back to maintain applications, whereas historically we would have just had to continue hiring. So we're very much more agile in our R&D capabilities. And overall, you know, we're quite a good synergy, but also cost synergy for us because of the recruitment costs of hiring really good talent. That's an expertise that Vertical Digital provides. So we're really pleased with that acquisition. It's going very well, and we'll be presenting at the Digital Construction Week in June the Vertical Digital services on the Alico Soft stand. So we look forward to, you know, being different, differentiate ourselves again amongst the other software vendors there. PMAC is a computerized maintenance management software business. Brilliant SaaS technology built on Python, which, you know, some of you may know is really how AI is prompted and so forth and developed. So great technology, really strengthens our maintenance management offering. It increases our market share, bringing in customers from a more highly regulated, you know, health sciences sector, bringing that into where we service more general manufacturing, and we're probably a leader in the UK in food and drink manufacturing. So bringing two best of breed solutions together, but also key resources and industry expertise. And that's allowed us to scale that group of products and give the teams, which with the integration, you know, they're a single team, but give them more focus and motivate them more as well. So that we're expecting that to really, you know, drive forwards. And we're jointly exhibiting at an event called MainTech also in June. And it's going to be, you know, demonstrating the strengths of the products coming together. They're both very well known in that space as well. Staff have been very positive. Customers have been very positive. So it's gone very well in terms of integration.
Yeah, fantastic. And what about the sort of the new product roadmap there, Jonathan? I know you've had a busy last year with the Astra GPT and also Astra Vision Live. How are those progressing, and also with the customers, and also anything you could reveal going forward? Was that going to be commercially too sensitive?
I think our strategy has been to provide customers with more value, and we want to solve their problems and ensure we're continuing to do that. So beyond our core solutions, which we continue to develop, we continue to work with customers to enhance those solutions, and that makes them very difficult to replicate. We're building new solutions like Astra Vision and Astra Vision Live for collaboration, and that's getting a lot of uptake now because what Astra Vision does is it provides a platform for scheduling across across a construction project. So teams can come together and work on a plan. And it also provides for clean data, which then can be interrogated with AI and lots of analysis in the future. So customers are really looking towards that, and we've seen a lot of interest in us division. I think on the roadmap, we're continuing to look at enhancements, mobile apps and so forth, which bolt onto the core solutions. Later this year, we hope to release an updated version of our BIM 4D solution. So, that's 3D modeling and planning within one system, so seamless, and clients can simulate building projects. They can see where the project's at any point in time and where it should have been or where it was planned to be. So really, really sophisticated stuff. So we're pleased to do that. And there's some other items in the pipe, in the roadmap, which we'll announce in due course. But I think what we're seeing just generally is AI is really an enhancer to our solutions. It's allowing us to do, we're exploring, R&D, which, certain elements would have taken 2 weeks. We can do that within a day, from writing a concept to testing it and so forth. So we're doing a lot more prototyping at the moment, and we're putting that in front of customers because we've got these fabulous relationships. And I think that's building more energy as well into our product as well as R&D teams. So we're not afraid of AI at
the moment. Well, you've whet my appetite there, Jonathan, so I'm looking forward to testing some of those projects. In terms of the go forward there, Neil, I don't suppose you could just say a few words about the outlook and the company, obviously, is it on track in terms of the guidance?
Yeah, sure. Thanks, Paul. I suppose maybe the first thing I'll say, and I referred to it a little bit earlier, was that the recurring revenues are 77% reported, for the year. Which is advanced again from the sort of lower 70s in the previous year. And we understand, that our investors like to see that because it provides a great underpin, for the next year. As you go into the next year with the success, and as Jonathan mentioned, the customer centricity and so forth, there's just a greater predictability, a greater certainty. And I think why that's particularly attractive at the moment is, it's really quite uncertain times, as we touched on. Despite those sort of, current macroeconomic and geopolitical factors, as everybody always says, we do remain confident in the outlook, in all the initiatives and the investments we're putting in, and in our future growth. Yeah.
I would just point to investors, have a look at what the business did just after Brexit and likewise during COVID. I was a shareholder, just for disclosure, at that particular point in time. And my take on it is that the company didn't even bat an eyelid in terms of getting through those difficulties. So that's something to have a look at for those. Anyway, some closing remarks at all, Jonathan, in terms of how the business is shaping up and how you see it moving ahead.
Yeah, I think firstly, I guess we're really fortunate to have a diverse and talented group of colleagues working in the business, and that's expanding. We have 315 people in the business now, spread across different regions, and we're servicing, I think, the most forward-thinking customers in the industry. They're looking at driving efficiencies and productivity and impacting the industry in a positive way, and that's evident with many of the Chartered Institute of Builders Construction Manager of the Year nominees are our customers, which is fabulous. They're using our technology to be recognised, and that's something we're really proud of. So it's a great platform, great people, great customers, great products. It's a platform for growth, and organic growth is our focus. Go-to-market has been one of our sort of pillars to our strategy, and we're focusing more on what we're calling is our strategy, ARE, or attaining, retaining and expanding, and really giving that focus through that journey with our customers. And some of the examples of initiatives are that what was customer technical support as a division in our business is now moving to customer success. And what that is rather than being reactive to customers asking for support, we're actually being proactive in terms of identifying if customers aren't using a particular feature, contacting them with a purpose and helping them get more out of our solutions and therefore, you know, expand and be more satisfied. So there's a real heavy focus on more customer centricity and better improved services for customers, which will drive organic growth on top of the new releases and new wins. We continue to look at complementary M&A. It's really important that it's enhancing to our business and our portfolio. We're still focused on organic growth, but we continue to explore M&A opportunities. We expect that to continue. And I think with all that sort of in summary, we're really confident about meeting the full year expectations. And hopefully that's evident in the proposal to increase the dividend to shareholders above what was in the consensus expectations.
Brilliant. I would also just encourage investors to try and get a hold of the Cavendish note, the broker forecasts for 2025. It gives us sort of like an enterprise value to sales ratio, probably around about 2.3 times. And just to give that a bit of context, the main competitors in the sector, Nemetschek, Bentley Systems and Autodesk, trade at between 9 and 11 times sales. And I think Cavendish last time had a target price of £2 per share compared to £1.20, which is the current share price. So plenty of potential upside there. So thanks again, gents. Congratulations on the record and better than expected results. And very much look forward in touching a base again and hearing how the business is developing in 2025. So thanks again.
Thank you.
The Vox Markets Podcast. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.